You could divide really the life of Elijah into three periods. And in every one of them, he moved according to the commandment of the Lord. The first one in chapter 17, verse 2. Go hide thyself. Go east and hide thyself by the brook Kirith. Then in verse 8 of chapter 17, go to Zarephath, which is belongs to Sidon. And then in chapter 18, verse 1, go and show thyself to Ahab. So the man of God is familiar with the voice of God, and every movement he makes, it is according to the word of God. And if it is according to the word of God, then it doesn't matter. If he said, go hide yourself, you don't go and show yourself. You go and hide yourself. If he said, go to a widow woman and she will take care of you, you don't question, well, how? Logically, it's not going to work. And if he said, go and show thyself to Ahab, when you know that Ahab is going to cut your head off if he finds you, you go and show yourself to Ahab. And the underlining point is this, his obedience to the voice of God. It's one thing to tell somebody else what to do. It's one thing to tell the people of God, God is withholding his blessing from you. But now, it's another thing to obey the voice of the Lord yourself. And in those three circles that we have mentioned, you find that it started with the individual relationship with the Lord. Now he is going to hide himself. He is going to be with God alone. And for a period of time, he is going to be in communion, complete communion with God. So he will be prepared to stand before kings. Just like Paul, when he got saved and he met the Lord told Ananias, he is a chosen vessel to stand before kings. But what did Paul go after that? He went into the desert for a period of time. And here in that period of time of silence, nobody knows where Elijah is. He is alone with God. He was in a period where there is no other communication going on. I'll use today's terminology. He didn't have an iPod with him. He didn't have his internet connection with him. He did not have a DVD with him to see what's going on. And you know what? I want to raise a challenge today. Would you, for a period of time, put your iPod down, put your DVD down, and have time in the presence of God? These things, these people were just like us. It said in James, and it was referred to, he was a man just like us. Elijah was not a supernatural man. He was a man like us. But he knew when the Lord said, it is time, I'm preparing you for the future. Go hide yourself. Spend time with me. Probably he had the word of God with him. Maybe he had the first 10 books of the Bible with him. That's all he had in his hand. And he spent time in the presence of the Lord. God was preparing a man to learn in his early days of ministry, how to depend upon the Lord completely. If you don't have that period of your life when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, hiding yourself, feeding on the word of God, trust me, you'll never be able to function in a small locality or in a large locality or in any locality as in Sidon, and you'll never be able to stand before anybody. It's vitally important for young and old alike to know what it is, to learn to be in the presence of God, to learn, as we have heard, the holiness of God, which is really what you have mentioned. What is Baal in our days? There are Baal everywhere, and Baal is connected with Ashtaroth, the power and the beauty. That is what characterizes the world. If you look at advertisement, that's what they are promoting. Do you see anybody ugly advertising for clothes? No, it's beauty. And that's what people go after. This is what the world is all about. That is the Baal and the Ashtaroth. The living God is completely different than that. It is not going to be easy to live in the time where Ahab reigned, which is the time where we are living. It's a challenge, and it starts with every individual, every one of us. We are bombarded by Baal and Ashtaroth. And we need to realize that what you see on TV, what you see on DVD, what you hear on your iPod is really coming from Baal and Ashtaroth. And they're trying to fill your mind with that junk and garbage. And trust me, you are what you eat. If you are eating that junk, you're going to just look like it, and you will be of no use for God at all. Elijah was in the opposite direction.
We might want to also notice there were two important elements inherent in this in Elijah's situation. There was the necessity for obedience and the necessity of faith. Without these two elements, he would not have been able to accomplish what he did accomplish. He was told by Jehovah to go. And did he question? No. We often do that. Why? We ask why. Why should I? What's in it for me? That kind of thing. But Elijah, he obeyed and he exercised faith. What would I be doing at a brook? There's nothing there. God was, because of his faith, God was able to feed him. And look at what he used, a dirty raven, to bring him food. And he didn't question that either. What we saw was complacency. He was satisfied and trusting in God. And everything was accomplished. We notice also that when the brook dried up, he wasn't worrying. We worry a lot, you know, sometimes. Where's the next loaf going to come from? Elijah didn't do that. He was complacent, and he knew in whom he had believed. And again, as the brother has said, this is a challenge for us today. Are we going to be wondering what's going to happen to me tomorrow? No, the scripture says tomorrow will take care of itself. Let's just concentrate on today. What the Lord provides for us today, let's be grateful.
I think our brother brought out... I think our brother brought out a good example of this picture of the Lord putting us in a quiet place where we can learn and grow. As a result, he brought up the example of the Apostle Paul, and I think that this, you know, example of going to a place of silence and learning from the Lord is very consistent across Scripture. We think about Samuel, who, you know, as a child would be learning under the tutelage of Eli. Nothing is really said of his childhood other than the tale of when he heard the Lord's voice, and then we jump to where he became the head prophet in Israel. We also think of the example of Moses, who was out in the wilderness, and was through those experiences that the Lord taught him the necessary things that he would have to learn in order to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. We also think about David in his battle with Goliath. It was his experience having killed the bear and having killed the lion that fueled him with the ability to say to Goliath, in the same way that I killed those, I will kill you. And so I think that, you know, we have a tendency where, you know, we feel our zealousness for the Lord, that we want to immediately go out into the fight. And I think there's always a time for that. The Lord does, you know, call us to go out into the fight, but there also is a time for us to be in the quietness with the Lord, to be in that place where, as our brother said, outside of the hustle and bustle, where we can spend that one-on-one time. We know that what's really key to any relationship, both spiritually and personally, is that opportunity, that one-on-one time with that person, such that the relationship can be built and developed. And I think that, you know, prior, as we go in through the remainder of this study, as we look through the book of Elijah, I think that it's important to realize that the Lord started off in terms of his ministry by this time, this quiet time, by this opportunity for Elijah to learn from the hand of the Lord, to see his mercies as he fed him and supplied all his needs. And I think it was this particular experience that I think helped to fuel Elijah as he went forth in his ministry, similar to how, you know, we saw with Samuel, as we saw with Moses, as we saw with the Apostle Paul.